Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places. I am your host, Ava Muhammad. Today is February the 28th, 2013. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And I am coming to you from Chicago, Illinois. And joining me from an unidentified location that he may or may not reveal, as we both just bask in the sunlight of Savior's Day is my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. It is so wonderful to have experienced 2013 Savior's Day. It was beautiful from start to finish, culminating in a profound message from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that we will discuss tonight. Please go to your friends on Twitter and Facebook and let them know that Elevated Places is on. We are live at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. This is a talk show, and so we are driven by the brilliant minds of our callers as well as our panel and guests. So feel free to call in and join the discussion. 347-324-5091, 347-324-5091. And we enjoyed such a powerful live broadcast from Savior's Day last Thursday from the Chicago Hilton Hotel Grand Ballroom. We had a wonderful panel discussing our exodus, preparation for our exodus, building righteous and sustainable communities, a powerhouse panel. Along with Brother Terrence and myself, we had Brother Alexander Muhammad, who is one of only 300 builders in the country to enjoy the status of the title conferred by one of the most respected entities in the construction and building industry, and he is characterized as a master builder. Also, Brother Student Minister Robert Muhammad, who has his master's degree in urban planning, as well as, of course, our Elevated Places contributor and analyst, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. Our moderator was the Final Call newspaper assistant editor, one of the most talented and personable brothers you could ever encounter, Brother Ashad Muhammad. And that was just the opening of Savior's Day. Brother Terrence, if you can share with us your perspective. As usual, you were everywhere in the Chicago Hilton, and you are just such a gifted, skillful brother. But why don't you share with us your views on what was going on?
Well, we're thankful to Almighty God a lot to be alive as we coming out that wonderful week, and I say week of Savior's Day,
yes,
event with the thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for all that he does for us. And we thank the Executive Council, and we want to give a big, big, big shout-out to Brother Adama because a lot of times people do not see the work that is done behind the hours and hours and phone calls and emergencies to make sure that the believers and our guests enjoy themselves and have a wonderful time. We, you know, we had a wonderful time. And not only do we have a good technical team in our sister LaDonna, far as Elevated Places, but she also led a Zumba class.
Yes,
a highly anticipated Zumba class. And she actually combined that with our sister from Virtue Magazine, Sister Arjun Muhammad, who did her yoga class. And next door to them was our great grandmaster, Anthony Muhammad, from the central region, giving martial arts and instructions to the brothers, which was phenomenal. And then, of course, the highly, highly anticipated drill competition went down Saturday
afternoon
at the Hilton Hotel. And, you know, we got to give a shout-out to Chicago for that junior FOI and FOI winning the title, and Los Angeles Vanguard. So it was beyond packed crowd and an overflow room for the drill competition. There was a lot of other workshops. It was just good to see the believers. I met the student coordinator from Paris, who was there with our brother Hillary from London, brother David from the Caribbean. So, you know, it was a chance to see all of the believers from across our beautiful nation that came and that participated. And then on Sunday, you know, Father Flagel was in the house. Frederica Bay from Newark, New Jersey was there. Even our brother Dougie Fresh blessed us on stage and came for the speech. So it was a wonderful time. The Children's Village was good. I mean, it was high-spirited, as it always is. It is Savior's Day. And we know it all culminated with the wonderful address by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan this past Sunday, and as well as him inviting his guests back to the Palace of the People, the Salaam restaurant, where crowds and crowds of people was introduced or reintroduced to the fine dining and the fine and wonderful food from the Salaam restaurant. So we had a great weekend in Chicago, Illinois. The weather delayed some people, but they eventually got to Chicago to be with the rest of the believing family.
Yes, sir. And before we go further, because Savior's Day was a phenomenon that it's difficult to even express, and you're doing a wonderful job of it. In the course of the minister's message on Sunday, he recognized, and we're so proud that he recognized our Elevated Places contributor, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, and he explained to the more than 8,000 people there at the UIC that Brother Ridgely and his wife, Sister Ann, had taken 1,600 acres of farmland in Georgia that had been previously owned by the Nation of Islam and was repurchased. It was owned during the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we repurchased it. And by the time we got it back, it was worn out. It was weed infested. It was hard rock clay land. And under the direction of Dr. Ridgely and Sister Ann, it has been transformed into arable land, workable soil, brought back birds, wildlife. And I don't think a lot of us were aware that the farm produces 400,000 pounds of watermelon annually, 12,000 pounds of vegetables, 100,000 pounds of wheat. And products and goods are delivered to 35 cities from that farm. Dr. Ridgely, are you on the line with us?
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Job well done. And I'm so glad that the minister recognized you, because you have been there close to 20 years. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. It's been 18 years.
Yes,
and it's been a labor of love, and you know, what was great about what the minister brought forward was to show the people what we can do with a little, and therefore now give him much to deal with. We here at Muhammad Farms, we just try to make Mr. Farrakhan's word bond and show that he's not just a talker. He is a leader and a director, but we have to back him up with work. So he is the one who raised the money to purchase the farm. It was through his word and love and the people's love and respect for him. So my job was just basically to work hard. I mean, it wasn't my money. You know, it was the people's money, so I couldn't lose their money, and I couldn't waste their money and waste the minister's time and effort, because I understand that we're at war. I understand that our people are being killed through the food system. I understand that our black women are not going to allow the black man to be free unless the black man can prove that he can feed her children. So we see that it is a war tactic, among other things, to make sure that we're able to provide food and show the people a way that they can survive without the white man. Because as long as they fear for their life, afraid to leave him for fear of starvation, they're going to grasp onto that sinking ship. So our job here at Muhammad Farms is to show people that as long as the sun shines and the rain falls and the earth is brown, there's seeds, you can germinate the seeds in the ground, and you can protect the seeds, the plants, and it will give you food, sustenance, and fiber for other productivities. And from the raw material that comes from the farm, like Mr. Farrakhan stated, now you got the raw material like cotton, then you can weave it into, you can gin it, and then you can weave it into cloth, and then you can take the cloth and make clothes, and now you have it from the land to the man. So this is why I love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Messenger of Allah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because they are the ones who are doing it, who are proving it, that God exists and God will provide as long as you're willing to work and not be afraid and not be niggardly and not be impatient. So we just thank Allah for the opportunity to serve the nation and our people and in God. And we're living. I mean, it is a great honor. We can't wait to get back here to the farm and do some work, to go and check out and see what we need to fix. That's what life is about. So we really enjoy it, and we pray Allah that you will support the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and so we can get some more land and set up some more businesses, and other people can find a purpose for their existence. Our people suffer because they don't know not only who they are as a people, but who they are as an individual. They don't know their purpose in life, and therefore they find it hard to be happy. We work hard, but we are happy because we have found our purpose in life, so we just thank Allah for the opportunity to be living, and living at the mercy of Allah and not at the mercy of the enemy.
Well, you know, brothers, the minister said that in his more than 3-hour message, he laid down with great specificity and precision the economic blueprint. I mean, he delivered what was promised. This was not just some generic general concept,
right,
but it was, in fact, a blueprint. In fact, he defined what a blueprint is, which is a plan or a model. And I think it came as a wake-up call to the audience and the tens of thousands who were viewing via webcast, as we learned today, that when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad asked the people to give to the economic plan, he was only asking for a nickel a day. And the
right.
minister specifically targeted the 16 million black wage earners. He didn't even say all black people.
Right.
But if just the wage earners, those who are blessed to be earning a living, which is approximately 16 million, if they contributed a nickel a day, that same nickel that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad asked for in 1965, that 35 cents a week would give us close to $300 million in a year. And we know we can do more than 35 cents a week, even with what we are suffering, you know, living in the white man's paradigm. But I realize, I know just in my life, and he pointed that out, that we all are experiencing this what they call sticker shock, continuing to go in the white man's grocery stores. And see, now we're feeling the suffering the consequences of ignoring the messenger telling us we must have some land of our own, because we're at the mercy of a merciless being who can, we can walk in the store and milk is $5 a gallon. Gas in Chicago is pushing up toward $5 a gallon, all right? And so we're not even talking about luxury,
right,
or even affluent living. We're talking about the basic essentials of life. And if he's saying 35 cents a week, I don't understand how we can turn away from that, because we're all living it now.
That's right. And then he showed us how, you know, this is not a pipe dream. You know, he showed us where there are farms available now,
right.
Huge cattle farms available in Texas, cotton farms, 4,000 acres available in Mississippi. There's many places. America is for sale. We know all around this farm here in southwest Georgia, these old white people are dying out, and the children are not coming back into agriculture. It's just a matter of us making a decision, and those who disdain farming and hard work, you know, what's work? What's worse, hard work or no work? Okay? We went to the cities to get work. Now there's no work. So now we're feeding off of each other, okay? Eating our own brothers and shooting them and taking from them. It's time to go to work. And, you know, you don't have to be a farmer. I mean, we're going to have truck drivers. We've got to have diesel repair people. We've got to have people who can set up industries and who can fix equipment in those industries. We have to do everything all the way from the land to the man and provide jobs for everybody in between. We have to now grow up. Yes, we are the children of Israel, but it's time for us to grow up, okay? And start acting like grown folks, because the light's about to go out. You know how it is. You don't worry about the lights as long as your parents are taking care of it, but the lights is about to go out. So we're going to have to grow up now, and I feel it. So many people who have land now are going back to the land, who are looking at their families and finding out about that land and trying to figure out a way not to lose that land and to try to do something with it. So there is a movement. Young people are going into agriculture. Young people are trying to find skills, how they can develop some skills, not just a four-year degree where you got some theoretical something in a briefcase that you have to go beg for a job.
For a job, right.
But learn some real skills so that you can come out and serve people and get paid. So the mindset that the minister is bringing, and this, some people call this a turning point in the Nation of Islam, in that we're not just beat up on the white man, we're not just beat up on the Jews, they deserve to be beat up on, but now we got a plan, we have a program that we all can get behind and show forth that the black man, and especially for the Muslims who believe that God is a man, we can show forth that God is a man by, in fact, doing what God do. We've talked about the black man being God enough. Now we got to manifest some things. Show people that we can solve problems instead of run from problems. Show people that we are dependable. Once we put our word out, we'll make it happen. Show people that, you know, we care about a quality product. And therefore, our people have faith in us and therefore faith in themselves, and therefore faith in giving the resources to the minister so he can invest that for us and pull us all up. And like the minister said, we're going to feed the black people, We're going to feed the brown people. And, yes, we're going to even have to feed the white people.
Yes, sir. And, you know, the when I was coming up, we were experiencing a flourishing black middle class. My father was a school teacher, an educator. My mother had a bachelor's degree from Clark University in Atlanta, but she didn't have to work. She was able to be at home with my two sisters and myself. And at that time, one income was sufficient to buy a home, to have a car, to live comfortably. Most of the things that we acquired back in those days, you saved up for something, then you bought it.
That's right.
You didn't run through malls and all of that. You saved your money, and you would hear people say, "Well, what do you, come on and go to the movies." No, I'm saving my money. I'm going to buy a car. I'm
right.
saving up to get a new coat. I'm saving up. You never hear that language anymore. And I think the minister, just what he gave us Sunday, even for all of us, was an epiphany, because most of us, you know, by the time I reached adulthood, we were into the credit card fake world.
Right.
And now we're experiencing the suffering of that, because, as he said Sunday, all of the gains of the black middle class over the last 30 years have been wiped out.
That's right.
Right.
Yep.
And not only that, they just had a march, yesterday, on the Voting Rights Act in D.C.
Oh.
You know, so like I said, all of these gains that we fought for are definitely going to be stripped away. And I think something that Dr. Ridgely said, it's a couple of points I wanted to remember to say before we go off the air as the discussion is starting to get good. I want people to remember that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is not stopping. And he said something at the lecture. He said, you know, I'm the one almost 80 years old or 80 years old, and so there's no reason for you to get tired. And he said that Sunday, but not only did he say that Sunday, tomorrow night he'll be speaking at St. Sabana Church, you know, and then on Saturday he'll be speaking in Grand Rapids. So he's nearly 80 years old this May, and he is not stopping. He is moving out on his mission. So the thing that amazes me is that there is no other leader, none, that I can name, that I can think of, that has a group of people that follow him everywhere he goes on their own dime. Meaning when the minister goes anywhere, people follow him, the believers follow him with their own dime to secure him. The president travels, but those people are paid staff, paid military, paid whatever they are. They are paid. They do not just go on a whim and find money to scrape up to go. And I say that so when the brothers and sisters have this love for the minister as he travels, we should quickly find that same love as we travel with him to get the 3-year economic plan up, because we're going to need it in this coming days. Because I was watching the movie Wall Street, it's part 2, Money, forget the whole title, but it talked about the bailout in this movie Wall Street. And I was like, how many years did before the actual bailout happened that this movie come out? I mean, they basically talked about the bailout in this movie Wall Street. So all of the stuff that we're seeing now, the movies and the plots and the plans, you know, when Dr. Ridgely said the lights are almost out, literally, this is not just some talk, lights are almost out. And the minister knows this. That's why he's traveling not only the United States, but the world, spreading this teaching in this world and going to the Caribbean to make sure that we pool our resources together to do something for ourselves, because the lights out are coming very soon.
Well, as you mentioned, this the U.S. Supreme Court just heard oral argument on the Voting Rights Act. which of course came into existence, I think, under Lyndon Johnson back in the 60s, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
But it was designed to protect. It requires individual states to submit any proposed revisions in voting procedures to the federal government. In other words, a state cannot change its voting process, registration, and the process of voting. And that came out, of course, of Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, et cetera, and all of the efforts to impede black voters. And now, and I think it's Anthony Scalia on the Supreme Court, he referred to the Voting Rights Act as entitlement, racial entitlement.
Mm.
And, you know, that word entitlement suggests
yes.
getting something for nothing.
Right.
You know, so when you couple that with what's coming up tomorrow, this so-called fiscal crisis that the
yes.
Republicans actually manufactured, there was no fiscal crisis, but they're about to cut out all of this these budgets that primarily affect government operations, everything from air traffic control to the Postal Service. This is the end. This is the end of this paradigm. And we have no choice anymore but to go for self. Because we're in worse shape, as the minister showed us Sunday, than we've ever been, but not so much from lack of dollars, but lack of unity.
Right.
Because as he showed us, $1.1 trillion a year, and as bad off as we are, we managed to generate over $1 trillion a year. But I know I heard the audience gasp when he said we spend, and I did too, $19 billion a year on telephone service.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
And
what are we talking about?
That's cell phones.
Yes,
right.
Cell phones. What are we talking about?
And that's the question he asked, because we don't own anything.
Right.
So we're not discussing acquisitions and mergers.
Right.
We don't even have jobs. We're not even calling to say what time should you pick me up, because
we
don't go anywhere.
That's right.
And so, as he said, and I'm begging us to think about this as well as myself, you know, we're always talking about how broke we are and what we don't have. But we all have these so-called smartphones, and these cell phones cost as much as what 10 years or 15 years ago was a car payment. So, you know, we don't have to go out and find this money.
Right, right.
You know, he said if we would just cut back, and he told the brothers and sisters, this doesn't apply or should not apply to us in the Nation of Islam, but to those brothers and sisters who like to drink wine and beer, you know, and other alcoholic beverages, that's in the multi-billions. He said, just cut back.
Well, you know, we spend more money on the cell phones than the liquor.
Yeah, I mean, the cell phone was in a class by that $19 billion is a class by itself. That is unreal to me.
Well, you know, only thing, you know, what the cell phone does is allows the spread of ignorance faster. You know, and so, but now, since they haven't, we're going to learn how to use it and pop some things in their ear.
Yes,
that's going to transform things. So, you know, we got them listening. Now, people like Brother Jesse and some of the other whizzes out there, we're going to get into their business and change the conversation.
That's right.
Things and use that format. You know, I'm making this joke about, I don't think the internet go last 52 weeks of the minister. You know, I think they're going to have an asteroid to come in and knock down all the towers so they can stop the minister from being in the people's homes and on the people's phones 52 weeks, because you know he is transforming the minds of everybody. And once you transform the people's minds, you're going to get their the other parts of their body, because as human beings we move based on what we think. And now Mr. Farrakhan is being out, he's out of jail, and he's in terms of the communications jail. You know, they don't want him on the air. They don't want him on the satellite. But now he's going through the internet, and he's having an effect. So much so that they are bringing up old news to try to block him, because they got nothing on him. So they have to bring up old news to try to block him, to scare the people off from him. And now the judgment is really on our people, as to listening to him Sunday and hearing common sense. Then we're going to have to decide, are we going to follow common sense, or are we going to die with no sense?
That's right. And we're going to, in a few moments, Dr. Ridgely, we're going to talk about the latest project, or really an offensive move, that with the help of yourself, Brother Alan Muhammad, Brother Jesse, and others, we are doing. And, you know, of course, as we know, you cannot win a war only on the defense. You can't win a basketball game or anything else only playing defense. At some point, you have to score some points. You can't always just wait and see what the enemy is going to do. So we are live on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. This is Ava Muhammad. I am with Brother Terrence Muhammad and Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. And we have numerous callers on. Don't be afraid to raise your hand and join the conversation, especially if you attended Savior's Day,
right.
And certainly if you watched or heard the message delivered on Sunday. We'd like to get your take on it. So call us at 347-324-5091. To your point, Dr. Ridgely, I want to point out that the Sun-Times, Chicago Sun-Times, the Monday, the 25th, had a page 4 article, beautiful, handsome picture of the minister. And the title is Protect What Is Ours.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the press zeroed in on Minister Farrakhan's analysis of the Second Amendment. And he essentially said that, you know, we need that to be in place. Because once we carve out separate territory for ourselves, we're going to need to be able to protect that territory. And he actually called on the black youth, the young gangbangers, since they like to shoot people, you know, they need to redirect their energy and anger, and ignorance needs to be elevated, and use their strength and power and fearlessness to protect the borders of that which will belong to us shortly. So I thought that was phenomenal, the way he analyzed that. Now, I'm going to go to the phones. Let's see. This call looks like it's coming in from the Carolinas. Antoine Muhammad has a comment and a question. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How's everyone?
Wonderful, sir. How are you?
Oh, man. I just got back from Chicago a couple of days ago. So
couldn't
be finer. My comment, then a question. First of all, Sister Ava, I really, 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 truly want to thank you for what you spoke on the last few weeks leading up to Savior's Day. I think that answered a lot of questions. I actually was able to, a couple of people was wrestling with that situation. I was able to direct them to that. And I know you're going to be humble about it, but thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you very much for how you laid that down. That was unbelievable. my comment is this, brothers and sisters. The main thing, this kept chronicle, we did a testimonial last night at the Mars. And this is the main thing that really stuck with me. And the minister painted this picture. Maybe the picture was too vivid for me, but when he spoke about other nationalities coming in our community, setting up shop, and Sister Ava, you spoke on this too, but I could not, I could see how clear this picture was when he said, you know, I could just picture these foreigners, no disrespect to them, but I could just see them carrying money out of our neighborhood and feeding their families good food and sending their children to colleges. While we, while we just look downtrodden and they treat us pretty much like animals, and we come spend our money and they're, you know, with them, and they still treat us like, you know, just treat us like pretty much crap.
That's
from what I see in my neighborhoods. Well, I'm not actually in the hood, but I be around it, and it's just sad. That's one of the things I wanted to just comment on. I just hope we can start getting up and doing something about that, and I think the minister is on that. But my question is this, to anybody on the panel, maybe Dr. Wrigley. I started juicing maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I be on the prayer line, y'all. Y'all bear with me a little bit. But I be on this prayer line, and they told us to Google the in-season fruits and vegetables. So I did that. So my question is, if a fruit or a vegetable is not in season, does it mean is it mechanically modified? And, you know, I don't know all those big words, but is it modified, or should I just be taking fruits and vegetables that are in season? I know Dr. Wrigley could probably help me on that, but that was just pretty much my question. You think you're juicing, you think you're taking the right things, but I could be just taking something that's not even real. So, you know, that's just my question. I don't know if that makes any sense, but Sister Ava, I do want to thank you again. Very, very much from the bottom of my heart for
what you
spoke about. And assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Antoine. Dr. Ridgely, I think that was a good question.
Yeah, it's a good question. When it's summertime here, it's wintertime in the southern hemisphere. And when it's wintertime in the southern, so it's flipped back and forth. So what happens is, the products that may be in season up here in the summertime then become in season down in the southern part of the world in their summertime, which is our wintertime. So they are transporting these products into our area in the off season. However, to get them here, they have to pick them when they are not ripe and then gas them up to make them seem ripe, but they are not ripe on the vine. So, and then they have to put high fructose corn syrup into the drinks that utilize this stuff because it's not sweet. It's not right. It's actually against the law, unless you get a special permit, to bring vine-ripened oranges out of Florida.
Wow.
When oranges are in season in Florida, unless you have a special permit from a farmer who has a permit, you cannot take vine-ripened oranges out. And the reason is, once you taste a vine-ripened orange, you cannot buy the oranges in the store anymore. Because I would carry a camera around when I was selling these vine-ripe oranges, and I'd take a camera around and say, you know, here, taste this orange. I'd take a camera around because I knew what was going to happen when they bit into it. The eyes would light up and their mouth, because it's that good. Mm. So what you were getting is fruits that are not ripe because they're picked too early, so they'll last a long time in the transporter in the stores. So you need to eat that which is natural to your area because your body is in this area at this time, and therefore there are some things out there in nature that will benefit you to survive in the area that you live in. Okay, so that's why in the old, our parents used to always have us to eat something as the seasons changed that was in season with the area that we were living in.
Yes, sir.
Put our body back in sync with the environment so that we would be healthier. You know, we are being convenienced to death.
Right.
When we want it. You know, I mean, like a little baby, and you're actually eating death because you're not in sync with the area that you're living in. So that's what's going on, brother. It's not necessarily genetically modified organisms. They've done most of that in the corn, soybeans, and canola, and cotton. However, anything that's processed, you can be sure they're going to put soy, corn, or canola. When we was in Chicago, we went to a store and bought organic whole wheat bread, and one of the items was soy flour as an ingredient in organic whole wheat bread. Why?
Wow.
So that's what's going on, brother. They're mixing stuff with genetically modified soy and corn, and anything you get that's been they've touched, anything they've processed, they put that genetically modified stuff in there to make sure you get the poison that you're supposed to get.
Am I still on, y'all?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Dr. Wrigley, let me ask you this. So with all that being said, so this don't matter. This is not even a race thing, then. Is that pretty much we can come up with? It's not even race because everybody's free to go in these stores. So is it just a...
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know what you would call it. Is it a race thing? I have heard that some things are labeled and the kosher sign. I have, you know, the 5% is trying to, you know, talk about all that stuff. But
is it a race thing?
Or
yeah,
it's
a race thing, brother, except that they would kill three of them just to get one of you.
Mm. Wow.
You know, because the rich white folk don't eat the way the poor white folk eat.
Exactly. I was going to bring that up.
Okay, they have their own farmers to grow their food for them. So they have, you know, it's called collateral damage. So these poor white folk, that means most of the ones you know and work with, they are collateral damage. I mean, they're just being their fodder to get rid of us. And that's why they're fighting so hard against this genetically modified, because at one time they tried to convince them that it was going to be race specific, but shoot, it's so many of them mixed up with us now. They don't know if they're white or not.
That's true.
So,
and you know, it's at the end of the day, it's about a dollar. And
yeah.
As you said, Dr. Ridgely, the super wealthy aren't involved at all. And
right.
This is why there's such a battle between the Democrats and Republicans. It's really just two sides of the same coin of white people, because the Democratic Party, which black people think represents us, but they really are more representative of the masses of white people that are being shafted.
That's right.
But this is why Republicans, who are all owned by multinational corporations, fight tooth and nail against any kind of regulation. You can't regulate these companies. You know, if you see the term natural on a label, that word means absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
There is no legal standard.
That's right.
That anybody has to meet to put the term natural on a product. And the list just goes on and on and on. I went in, this $19 billion on phones. I have a Sprint cell phone. I have a Samsung Galaxy that I bought at the end of 2011. And by the end of 2012, it had basically self-destructed.
Mm.
So every time I would go in with something wrong, they would tell me, oh, you need a new phone. You need to upgrade your phone. I said, I'm not upgrading nothing. You are going to, because you're not going to lock me into another two-year contract. See, that kind of stuff, regulation would prevent that.
Right.
And I told this one man, and my daughter had to grab my arm because I was getting so loud. I said, you know, you all should go to jail. I said, because, you know, I went and ordered a cover for my phone, and he said, we don't make that anymore. I said, what do you mean you don't make it anymore? Well, you know, that's technology. Your phone is obsolete. I said, well, then you should go to jail. I said, because you... Sign me up for a two-year contract on a one-year phone.
Come on.
Right.
You know, but we can just go on and on and on how the cable companies charge us. They're not paying anything. They're pulling all this stuff free out of Allah's air.
Yes.
And they're making us pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars every month. So we have to break from this, is my point listening to Dr. Ridgely. You know, soy, you know, how is it whole wheat then? but they're allowed to say that.
They're allowed to say that.
They're allowed to fly planes, you know, with that are flawed, but the wealthy fly private jets. They don't fly commercial planes.
Right.
And they calculate, they determine how many plane crashes the public can withstand.
Mm.
They calculate how many car
yes.
accidents we can withstand. They sit up in these companies and do that. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said it in these words. He said, the devil will sell you anything that will not kill you outright.
Right. That's right.
You know, and so that means if you can make it past the checkout counter.
That's right.
You know, with his broccoli or his juice or whatever he's pushing and go home, he'll sell if it kills you at home, he'll sell it to you. Long as it doesn't kill you the moment
That's
you
right.
put it in your mouth in the store. If it doesn't kill you outright, but if it kills you slowly, he will
right.
sell it to you.
That's right.
And, you know, and I want to just add to give clarity to something that Dr. Ridgely said. He said to the brother, not the white folks that you know and work with. And that wasn't him trying to be funny. The reality, you know, that's why people need to get these books, Secret Relationships Between Blacks and Jews, and really understand who these white people are. See, one of the things that the minister is so powerful at doing, he is not a profound preacher. He is a teacher and the representative of a man who has given us life-giving teachings. So what I'm saying is to say that these are teachings that we have, and there's a teaching about these people that, and if you study white people that are in power, they do not send their children to our schools.
That's right.
They do not send their children to our social arenas. They do not even entertain our world. They live in a totally
right.
different world where they do not have to come in contact with us at all.
That's
so
right.
when he says that the white people that you may know, Bob, friends, and they may even think they have power, are not the ones that are in control or in power, because they understand the science of mating and breeding. And they make sure and they are careful about who their children are around, what they know, so that they can continue the legacy of power, and they do not allow their children to integrate with anything weaker than where they are right now. So that's what he does mean about that. And the other part, well, we give credit, and we're thankful to Dr. Ava for what she does and her preparation. But I think all of us should use that as an example that we have to be skilled and less emotional in our representation and our teaching to our people so that we can put out the information and the clear facts. That's why as we started the nation, we were given actual facts and student enrollment to study, to look at the data so that you don't have to be emotional about what we're saying. You can see it, and that's why the minister's job is only to deliver a clear message. It's not for no emotional applause like he was saying this Sunday. He was just bringing the bare, unadulterated facts, and you have the determination now to make a decision whether you...
Are we still on?
He must have went out.
Brother Terrence. Yes. I'm sure we'll get him back. We've got Brother Bilal on the line. He has a comment. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Bilal.
Alaykum salam, family. Happy Savior's Day still.
Happy Savior's Day to you, too. That's right.
So, first of all, I'd like to make a comment because the minister gave us instructions. He asked us to go on the social media, Twitter, Facebook, and whatnot, and pass the word about the economic blueprint that he's putting forth, you know, to all black people in America. But yet, I get on Facebook and all I see is people talking about the drill competition, this, that, and the third, but I hear no one talking about putting up about 35 cents a week, 5 cents a day. I don't see none of that chatter because they're missing what the drill competition is all about. It's not for sport and play. It's for military training. That's what that's for.
Discipline. That's right.
So we got to stop looking at things with sport and play and start hearing and obeying. And Dr. Risby, sir, I bought your seeds. So how long do these seeds last? And can you please speak on the different colors of the seeds that I got? Because my white hand carried me to your table. She stalked me and stalked me and stalked me that I bought these seeds, and now I got to put them to good use.
Well, some of the seeds come with a coating to protect it from the nematodes and the insects so that they will get a chance to germinate. The seeds, if you put them in a cool, dry, dark place without moisture, they will last for years. So if you don't get a chance to plant all of them this year, if you keep them in a cool, dry, and dark area, they will last for years. You know, seeds is really like money. And one day, I heard a sister say that she bought some beans, two 50-pound bags of navy beans. She's going to buy some more because she said one of these days, her navy beans going to be money because everybody's going to be looking for something to plant or something that
right.
she's going to have hers. So in actuality, seeds are designed by nature to last a long time. So, you know, they can last a couple of years as long as you take care of them properly.
Okay, well, also, I thank you. So I want to let everybody know, if you come to Pittsburgh and you come to Sister's Kitchen and get some bean soup, they're made from the beans and the seeds from the farm. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Brother Bilal. Awesome. Thank you, sir. Okay, we've got Brother Seven Truth Allah is on the line. Let me get his mic here. All right. Assalamu alaikum. Walaikum salam. How are you, sir?
I am doing, oh, my God, I'm so blessed. I have a few comments, just less than a billion. I thoroughly enjoyed this Savior's Day myself. I absolutely did. I got a chance on my first day going through. I got to see Dr. Ridgely a couple of times, and I got to see Minister Abel. I got to see you just briefly as you were moving at a superior high rate of speed. Out of one, I think you were coming out of the room that we were getting the overflow for the drill competition. I was in the doorway coming in. I was letting some sisters by, and then all of a sudden, whew, a burst of wind came by, and I was like, that's Mr. Oh, my God, that's Minister Ava. So I didn't get a chance to even, I couldn't even get my camera up enough to even snap a picture because you were there and you were gone.
Cool,
I was like,
heart.
Oh, man. But it was so nice to see you again, Minister Abel. I got to see you on the stage
Thank
Sunday.
You.
I got my $100 ticket, so I was closer.
All right.
Got some great, excellent pictures of the minister. I enjoyed the pureed bean soup at the salon. I did enjoy that. It was the first time I ever had it pureed, and it was absolutely delicious. but I want to get to, I brought my sister this time for her very first Savior's Day, and I didn't even get a chance to get to the social network and really post up like the brother just said. I didn't get a post it, but I will be making my time to post up about the economic plan of 35 cents. My sister came back home, and she called her daughter and both her sons, and everybody that has come in contact with her since Savior's Day, she's been telling them about putting up 35 cents a week. A nickel a day. She calls her children every day, did you put your nickel up? People, she works in an animal clinic, and folks that come in there, she's telling them, you know, it'll help. Put your nickel up a day and get going. And folks who don't necessarily deal with the teachings of the nation will accept that, too. You can help. And
oh, yeah, that's right.
Giving her a co-worker, he said, I don't even like change. I got buckets of change at home. She said, bring your buckets here. They will go right for a good use. Because when she heard about the land that is for sale and what the whole process, she was, oh, my goodness. She, for her first Savior's Day, she walked away with a Quran. She has been reading How to Eat to Live every single day. She is wanting to learn. She says she will be at Mosque Number One out of Detroit. She will be there this Sunday. And she said, I'm joining to help the minister.
Beautiful. I like
that. Oh, that's a great, great narrative. Thank you, beloved, so much for sharing that with us. And I hope that we meet next time. Yes, sir.
Okay, and this time I will greet you properly and not the 1998 and the last time I got to see you, and I was like, man. But, yes, I was thoroughly pleased. I got to enjoy a lot of the workshops, the comedy show and everything. Mm-hmm. And overall, I just looked for the positive of it all, and I had a blessed time. I had a very blessed time.
Thank you so much for sharing that. All right, beloved.
Yeah. You know, I had to use muscle relaxers for my face. I smiled for 3 straight days, and I must have kissed everybody, shook their hands. It was really, really, really fun, really great. A lot of love.
It really was.
And, you know, I keep talking about how if we had all the Muslims together within 40 or 50 miles, how that vending area, we can have that, you know, twice a week, because that's one of the major attractions of Savior's Day. People just walk around and spend some money. So, you know, we want to. It's just the fact
that
we live too far apart for us to be able to have the right type of connection so that we can do business with one another. But Savior's Day proves that we really do love one another, and it proves that we are the most beautiful nation in the world. We are some pretty black people.
That is the truth. Amen. Amen. We've got, and Brother Terrence is back with us. Welcome back, Brother Terrence. You were making a great point. I'm going to go to Sister Brenda and get her comment. And then, Dr. Ridgely, you have an announcement to make.
Yes, okay.
Sister Brenda, assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. How you doing, family?
Wonderful.
That's good. I'm going to be brief because I know it's not that much time left for your show. But I just wanted to ask something that, two things I wanted to make a comment. Something Brother Ridgely was saying about the food and season. But there is food out there that if you eat it, like Monsanto or whatever, it does change the coloring of your organs. I just wanted to throw that out there to the brother so he would know. And there are codes that you can look for to know if something is organic or if it's genetically modified. But I wanted to know one thing that I heard that happened at Saturday because I wasn't able to attend. I have heard from my sister-in-law, because my brother is in the nation also, my younger brother, his wife was telling me that on Saturday they nominate. I know this is nation business, but I just wanted to know that the minister elected 2 believers to be on the board. I was just curious to what is the plan for that, the board? That's all I wanted to know.
We all got so quiet. I'm truly not familiar with that.
Oh, okay.
This is the first time hearing, but I'm sure that it will be announced, whatever took place, because I didn't attend every single meeting, you know, or gathering.
Oh, okay.
But yes, ma'am.
Well, I haven't heard anything about that either.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
But we'll
I
keep you. I'm sure you. I'm sure we'll be kept posted.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, beloved. Yes, ma'am. Dr. Ridge, I'm going to do one more, Sister
yes.
Rachel, and then we're going to move to our activist platform. Sister Rachel, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sister. And for all my sisters, can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am, to all of my brothers and sisters. I'd like to speak on the fruits that's in my my neighborhood grocery store.
Yes,
most of the fruits begin with the number 4 on them, which is genetically modified. I was told to buy fruits with the number 9 on them, which is supposed to be organic. But the only fruit that I find with the number 9 on it is a banana. What do you think about that?
Do you know, Brother Ridgely, what the number is?
I don't know. Sister Ann, do you know anything about that? We'll research that, but this is the first time we're hearing that, so we have to research that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I had heard that, in magazines, news, that they code them. You should look for, but I never really got an understanding of what's what, and it's just that it's all so sinister.
Well, you know, again, you know, the main thing that we can tell you is this. Don't eat anything that's been processed, okay? A bad fruit that's raw is better than a good fruit that's been processed by this system. The key is we got to get back in the kitchen, like Minister Farrakhan said. We got to get back in the kitchen because that is our defense against being poisoning. The main poisons come through the processing system, and they're trying to get people all spooked up, thinking that they can protect themselves. What is it, just GMO, non-GMO? And then you're still going to McDonald's, or you're still getting Sara Lee. You're still getting stuff like I said, that whole wheat bread, organic, whole wheat bread had soy flour.
Right.
So that means what? You get the flour from Muhammad Farms, and you bake your own bread.
And that's what I'm doing.
We're going to have to just go back to the basics until we set up our own processing plants that we can process food correctly and not adulterate it with poisons, because Mr. Farrakhan has told us that Kissinger has put out this memorandum. They intend to eliminate 4 billion people, and the best way to do it is through diseases and the food.
And the food.
That's what they're
right.
doing.
That's right. So thank you so much for raising that point, Sister Rachel.
And I want to thank you as well.
All right. I'm like him. All right. So, Dr. Ridgely, let's talk about being proactive. You know, we talked earlier and about these attacks that are being resurrected again.
Yes.
On the minister as he makes this final push. That is actually prophecy would take place, and of course the wicked are doing what was written they would do. But we have a role in this. Those of us who claim to follow, not only those of us who claim to follow him, but anybody that understands that what he's teaching is true. Okay, and I don't care what your belief is. I have family members that are Christians. And they love the minister. They love him for what he is giving to us.
That's right.
And they love the truth that he brings. Even if they're locked in some theological difference or some habit, or they're just on the plantation and don't want to jeopardize what they're getting, you'd be amazed at the little superficial reasons why a lot of our people haven't made the move, but believe me, Allah is forcing it now. We're just being stripped of everything that we've ever been given. So, you know, you and I were talking with some of the other research people and the other night, and you and some of the members had developed an idea. So that idea, you didn't waste time. You made it a reality.
That's right.
Why don't you tell the listeners what we've got going? So as soon as this show is off, they can go, and with the press of a button, they can be an activist.
That's right. You know, when Minister Farrakhan, back in August and September, he was talking about the economic blueprint, that he was going to bring this forth at the Day of Atonement in Charlotte. Okay? And then he changed his mind and decided to talk about Obama and the election. Well, this movie, Betty and Coretta, that slanders the minister was started in September. That's when they started this movie, and this movie was brought out in February, which is Black History Month, right before Savior's Day. Now that the minister is given direction in terms of an economic blueprint and is asking our people to donate money to an economic program, now they come with this garbage that they've dug up again to smear the minister's reputation, to keep the people away from him and have them to hold onto their money and give it to the white man instead of us uniting together. We are not united together because the enemy is always looking for an opportunity to sow seeds of dissent. Even if things is fixed, he'll come and mess it up again. So what they did was they resurrected Betty and Coretta and put words in their mouth that they didn't say to slander both Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and even slander Malcolm X and even slander Martin Luther King. So, right. But we in the Nation of Islam are not afraid of the truth. And so what we decided to do, we are tired of the people talking about Minister Farrakhan and his having something to do with the assassination of Malcolm X. We thought Minister Farrakhan had spoken to this in 1995, and it pushed back on the system for trying to slander him about that assassination, but it went underground, and now another generation, 18 years later, it's popped up again. So this time, we want to take the head off of this beast. So what we did, we went to, after deliberation, went to change.org and put up a petition. And this petition is to President Obama and Eric Holder. And it basically says, release the Malcolm X files. And I want to read it to you. It's not that long. Recent media events have continued a process of slander against the good name and reputation of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The mass media have tried to implicate Minister Farrakhan in the assassination of Malcolm X, falsely and maliciously reporting that he was directly involved in the murder of the slain black leader. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, under the direction of J. Edgar Hoover, worked night and day to help create the atmosphere that allowed Malcolm X to be assassinated. The Federal Bureau of Investigation's illegal and unconstitutional counterintelligence program, COINTELPRO, interfered with and disrupted the lawful rights of nearly every black organization and its leadership. And the U.S. government has never denied its role in the murder of black leaders. The U.S. government has volumes of documents, photographs, films, audio files, and other relevant material about these activities hidden away from the public view. The FBI, CIA, and other government agencies conducted this spy campaign against American citizens using taxpayer money. Therefore, we the people petition the Obama administration to make available to the public all government files related to the assassination of Malcolm X. And we ask that there be no modification, it's unredacted, no pull in and take outs. We want to know the truth. So you can go, it's going to be up on a number of websites. You can go to change.org, but the easiest way to go get it is go to right now, NOIMOA.com, NOIMOA.com. And you'll see in the recent news, you'll see the petition. You hit that, and it'll carry you to explain the petition and take you to the petition so you can sign this petition. And this petition will go directly to the email account of Eric Holder and President Obama. And tell all your friends, those who love the minister, sign the petition. Those who hate the minister, sign the petition.
Sign the petition.
Those who love Malcolm, sign the petition. Those who hate Malcolm, sign the petition. Let's see the truth, and then let the people define. Right now, they use innuendo to besmirch the reputation of Minister Farrakhan. If you got some on it, bring it, and we want you to bring it out. But we know what you got, and that's why you aren't going to bring it, don't want to bring it out. But we're going to force you to either bring it out or just tell the truth that you're a liar, you're a murderer, you're a disruptor of all black good black folks, and you're the cause of all the problems through your lies and deception. So we thank you all for participating in this. Tell your friends about it. Shoot them the emails. We're going to make this thing happen.
And thank you for that. And I want to remind everybody, if you recall, when President Obama was reelected in November, every one of the 50 states, there were petitions circulated to secede from the union because of a black man being in the White House. And we are utilizing the same mechanism. We, the people, we want to speak out on this. We owe it to the minister and to ourselves.
That's right.
To bring resolution to this. And as we were talking last night, Dr. Ridgely, that if we don't get a response from our black attorney general, then it's going to leave us with no choice but to begin to publicly speculate as to why they won't release these files.
That's right.
It's unseemly, and it's really criminal to continue to drop seeds on the minister directly and indirectly and use government-controlled media, which, of course, the government is now controlled by multinational corporations, so it's a vicious cycle. They're all working hand in hand, as you heard us read from the FBI memorandum dated back in 1969, that the government and the media work together. And so we mistakenly thought that this issue was put to bed in 95, and it clearly wasn't. And so you're right, Dr. Ridgely, and can we give the websites again? I know one is change.org, and the other one was NOI.
NOIMOA.com. NOIMOA.com.
Okay.
Or you can go to change.org. When you go to change.org, if you go to it now, you probably won't be able to find it because you got to get at least 100 signatures for them to post it for everybody to see. So, but there's a link that you go to NOIMOA.com that you can sign on to, and when it gets up to 100, then they'll post it up on the big screen, so to speak. So it's very important that you go to NOIMOA.com now and go ahead on and post up so that we get to that 100, then it'll be on the major screen as such on change.org, and hopefully we will have links to it coming from other websites to it, and with our people out there in Facebook and in Twitterland can really spread this information, let it become viral. And, you know, it's like if you don't like the minister, if you think he did it, and sign the petition.
Yeah, you should want to see the files. Whatever side of the issue anyone is on, and that's why once you sign the petition yourself, you should email and contact via Facebook and Twitter your followers and friends. And
that's right.
We want to get the youth involved. I'm going to have my daughter and her friends sign because it's important. One thing we discovered in the course of responding to this latest attack on the minister, so many people were unaware of the actual history.
Yes.
Even people who were present at the time. But definitely you have so many people that either weren't born or were too young to really comprehend this. But, this whole Malcolm issue proves that, you know, time in and of itself does not heal all wounds. And even if it did, the enemy's not going to allow it to. So we need to put this to rest once and for all and kill this issue.
That's right.
So thank you for that, Dr. Ridgely.
You're welcome. And as we go along, you know, it is in the Bible. It is in the Bible. Those who have my books, you know what I think. I'm not going to go into that now. But we are, in fact, living history, prophecy. We're living it. And when they resurrected Malcolm, when they did it in 1991, I saw then what they was going to do to try to stop Minister Farrakhan, because they have no living person who can compete with Minister Farrakhan. So they have to dig up a dead person, put words in his mouth to put him in front of the people to block, like you said, Minister Ava, block the sun as a cloud.
Right.
And now we must remove that cloud so that people can see the light of day, because it's not just about loving and shouting for Minister Farrakhan. He has given us direction that will save our lives.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So as we wind down, we've got Brother Khalifa is on the line. Let's see if we can get that mic open. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam, Sister Dr. Ava.
How are you, sir?
I'm just fine, ma'am. And you?
Good, good.
Praise be to Allah. I wanted to just make a comment on some of our previous callers about
sure.
those various numbers that we see on our fruit and our produce, 9 and 4 and et cetera.
Okay.
Now, this number 9 is supposed to be organic, but we have to understand this, that the devil is a liar. Like Dr. Richard was saying, when
sure.
they get the fruit from down south in the other part of the earth and bring it up here, and if, what the enemy has done, he's gone all over the earth and co-opted everybody who's trying to grow good stuff. And he puts his numbers and labels on stuff, but it's not what it is. This is why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was teaching us and how to eat to live, that at the time he was telling us, he said, it's hard to find pure food. He said, in the future, it would be impossible. We're
right.
at that stage now.
Mm-hmm.
So the saving grace that we have is we would just eat one meal a day.
Come on.
And it's going to find the best food that we can find that will give the poison time to weaken and come out of our bodies. Now, just take for example, I'm a member of the Ministry of Agriculture under Dr. Ridgely. I've been down to the farm several times. Nobody on this earth can grow any more vegetables or produce finer than he can. Now, you go to these local Whole Foods stores and whatnot, and you see all of this produce, and it looked like it was measured with a tape measure, the same size and the same everything. And I've been with Dr. Rich for about 6 years, and I know there's no way you can grow that stuff and it come out the same exact size. But see, they put all these different things on here, and,
that's
we,
right.
and when we go there, and we look at these numbers and whatnot, so just throw that out of your mind, number 9, number 4, and everything. Know that the enemy is a liar. Two more statements. They even got now with the athletes and everybody drinking Gatorade. They had it on the news 2 or 3 weeks ago. A young 15-year-old girl found out that they had a chemical in there that is a fire retardant in the Gatorade.
Yes, I saw that. Yes.
Said that you would take it out. Also, there's a juice that you see in all these fine whole food grocery stores called Naked Juice. It's owned by Pepsi Cola. They put an invisible chemical in there just to add to the texture of the drink. It's cancerous. All of this was in Proposition 37 in California. And these people voted to down, to not pass Proposition 37, and that would reveal information to the public what they're putting in there. So, dearly beloved brothers and sisters that is listening, throw all that out of your mind and just try to eat one meal a day. Let's put up that nickel and grow our own food. That's the only way we have to protect our life. Because when the Savior came, he said, take all this medicine and stuff out. And my last comment, you look at the word pharmacy. I've looked it up. Pharmacy means go back to the root of it or the etymology of it, pharmacon, the poisoner, one who poisons. See, so, I mean, that they got the whole system set up to destroy us. The only thing we have to do is follow the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan under the teachings of our eternal leader, the Honorable Minister, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and let's blow some stuff for ourselves. That's the only chance we got other than that we did in the water. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. This is a beautiful point to start to wind down on. And back to an earlier point you made, Dr. Ridgely, about the super wealthy.
Yes.
You know, this is why the so-called royal family, the Windsors, Queen Elizabeth and her sons, et cetera, and parents, this is, if you notice, they're all over there living past 100.
Mm-hmm.
That is because they grow their own food, and they practice homeopathic medicine. They do not practice allopathic medicine as is done over here. They don't use the poisons. That are used over here. And so again, as Brother Khalifa pointed out, I think it's so important what he says, that you almost have to ask yourself, what difference does it make what coating the devil puts on there? Because he's a liar. You know, Jesus told them there's no truth in you. You know, and so you know, so much has been revealed about whole foods.
Well, you know, yeah.
From the time they came into existence.
Well, Monsanto has bought up Whole Foods. That's why they were able to stop that Proposition 37 out there, that we done found out that Monsanto done bought up Whole Foods.
See, and so really, you know, as you pointed out, and Brother Terrence elaborated on this. See, this thing about white people, we have to understand, and as you said, they'll kill each other to get us.
That's right.
And nothing could be more true. So except for the extremely affluent and particularly the very wealthy, they could care less about your average Tea Party member.
Right.
This is why the Republican Party is splitting up.
Right. Right.
You know, it's disintegrating in front of us because there are such divergent interests among them.
Well, a poll said that only 22% of the American people say that they're Republican now.
Right.
So they're going to wind up just being the 1% who they represent.
Exactly. Well, Allah is aligning everything, so we're going to see truth. You know, this Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, they're so angry at him because he worked in partnership with Obama, which was his job as the governor of a state under siege in the wake of a hurricane in great need of federal assistance, because he was cooperative with the black president, he's been disinvited, you know, to one of their biggest gatherings coming up. And so that which the Honorable Elijah Muhammad warned us of 50 years ago, he said they would not be able to sustain life for their own people.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're witnessing now. The poor whites, they are like the people in steerage. You know, there weren't any black people on the Titanic. I think there was one black family or one wealthy black man who was sort of a multi-ethnic was on there. But primarily that was an all-white entity. And you saw the class division.
Right.
That existed. See, when they're by themselves, they kill each other.
That's right. That's right.
But yep. when they interact with us, we're number one on the agenda. But I love that you reminded us of that. That
yeah, and when we separate from them, that's all they have is to kill each other. But as long as we are there, they can all unite and beat up on us. But if we pull out, then you know, pull out fast and watch what happens to them. All we need to do is just go to our own and be ourselves and let them take care of themselves, which will be a very, very ugly thing. I just love Savior's Day. Like I said, my face was, wore out from smiling, but it wasn't a fake smile. I was just feeling good. Look at them beautiful people. I'm smiling. If we were in a place of our own, we proved it with the Million Man March. 2 million black men on the Million Man March, and not a fight, not a foul word. Now, don't
tell
me we can't have heaven on earth if we just decide. But as long as we keep this enemy between us, this enemy will say one thing to one person and say something else to the next person to get you to fight and kill one another. That's how they operate.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and so we have to, as we move forward, what the minister is looking for from us is to, I think one of the brothers that called much earlier, he has implored us to stop going on Facebook and Twitter with foolishness.
Right, right.
The Instagram and all of the taking pictures of people without their permission and posting them on Facebook and talking about silliness. We need to take the devil's medium and use that for our final push for freedom. And so I love what that brother said a lot earlier. We should be on these social networks warning the people and begging our people to start to set aside a few dollars every week.
That's right.
Nobody has called upon black people to save anything since the 70s.
That's right.
You know, we were moving forward. We were buying homes. We had equity in our homes, and it's through home ownership that we were going to be able to pass down wealth to our children so that our children would not have to start from scratch every
yes.
generation. They could inherit a paid-for home from us and either live in it or sell it and start out with something. So somebody came up with this brilliant and wicked idea of the home equity loan and lured us into
yes.
borrowing money against the one asset that we had.
Mm.
And so now all that we have built, as the minister said, has been wiped out. So we have no choice now. We are down to nickels and dimes individually. But together we've got $1 trillion.
That's right. All we have to do is change our minds. That's all we have to do is just change our minds and start moving in another direction. And it all is based on, you know, on faith. And those of us who say we believe that Allah came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, it's now time to put that faith to work. And that faith means that you have to hear and obey. And let's try that for 10 years and see what happens. And I guarantee you, if we try it just for 10 years, we'll be on top of the world. That's all it would take. We'd be on top of the world. I'm not talking about surviving. I'm talking on top of the world. If we would just hold on and do what's right amongst ourselves. We are the wealth. You know, they tricked us over here. You know, the slave trader made an interpretation that we receive gold for our labor more than we were receiving in our own country. And we were the gold, and we had the gold there. Now he has the physical gold, and he has us, and we're still running after him trying to find some gold. The gold is in us. We have the creativity. We have the strength. We have the beauty. We have the mind that we would just put the God-given talent to work from self and to serve others. We will have the gold because we are the light. It's in us, but we allow somebody else to interpret for us our very life.
Exactly. Exactly. Beautifully said. Yes, sir. Well, I want to, first of all, thank, as we begin to close out, I want to thank all of the listeners for your support. You have really helped Elevated Places grow. So I want you to continue to participate, to listen on Thursday nights. We're going to be making some announcements. And as we've been saying, and we're working on making that a reality, we want Elevated Places to be a forum, not just for this. This show is just one of, you know, I think it's the 70th surah of the Quran. It's entitled The Ways of Ascent, plural. You know, there are so many different ways to manifest and express the attributes of Allah. And so all of us have been given a skill set, talents, creativity. As Brother Terrence reminded us at the beginning of the show, Sister LaDonna, who's our IT specialist, also taught a Zumba class at Savior's Day. So she's got creativity in more than one area. And everybody out there does. So as we start to disconnect from their food and their culture, that entails beginning to create a new kind of programming, and that's what Elevated Places is. And so, pardon me, I want to really thank, in addition to the listeners, the Elevated Places team who you did such an incredible, incredible job at Savior's Day, at the Chicago Hilton, with the technical, with the programming, and just enjoyed ourselves so much at the Chicago Hilton and look forward to this becoming a yearly event and growing by leaps and bounds. So we look forward to being with all of you next week. Thank you, Sister LaDonna, Sister Rona, Brother Bobby, Brother Terrence, and, of course, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. And may Allah bless all of us with love and the light of understanding. Let's talk about land. Let's talk about only eating what we grow. That's why the people, black people on Mars live to be 1,200 years old because they eat only what grows from the planet. So may Allah bless all of us with love and the light of understanding. As I greet you in peace, assalamu alaikum.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. If you enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.